I don't know if it went down exactly like that. For instance, when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" they had already eaten. And Peter jumped on the boat to pull in the fish and pulled up the net himself. But think with me about the question of why did Peter do what he did? Why did Peter deny that he knew Jesus? Peter was one of Jesus' most passionate followers. When Jesus was in the upper room and he was telling his disciples that night that they would all be scattered, Peter was saying, "Not me. Never. I will never deny you. I am ready to die for you." And when soldiers and a mob found them in the garden and Jesus had been praying, Peter was right there. He whipped out his sword and started swinging. And I don't know if the high priest's servant was lucky enough to duck at the right time or Peter was a bad shot, but he lost his ear. Jesus replaced an ear. But Peter was rebuked. He was stopped. Jesus told him, "No, we're not doing it this way." And Peter and the rest of the disciples fled. Well, Peter actually followed them up to the high priest's house. And in Matthew 16:21 and 22, there's another passage. It says, Peter made his great confession. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus and his disciples are talking, and Peter makes his great confession, and then just immediately following, when he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he says this: From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside, and look at this. Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. So Peter was going to correct Jesus. He was going to tell Jesus that this was not... And he was saying to the Lord, "Heaven forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you." I think this gives us some insight onto what happened in the garden. Because Jesus, at this point in Matthew 16, Jesus told Peter, "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view." That's Matthew 16:23. In some translations he says to him, "You're a stumbling block to me," or "Get behind me, Satan." But he says, "You are seeing things from a merely human point of view." And then Jesus, immediately in Matthew 16, it goes into the take up your cross daily and follow me. It goes into the thinking, the thought pattern, the selfish, the human point of view. And now Peter whipping out his sword in the garden is the human point of view. He's ready to fight. I ask the question, why Peter denied Jesus? Because I have by word or action or attitude at times denied him myself. Oh, maybe not with words, and never have I stood in the garden and people say, I don't know him like Peter did. But in my attitude, I've done that. Maybe not with word, but with deed or in my heart. And Peter had a human point of view. "Heaven forbid, Lord, this should never happen to you. This could never happen to you." But the thing is that Peter didn't understand what Jesus was trying to tell him is, this is why I'm here. This is the whole purpose I've come for. And Peter was saying, this can't happen. The human point of view, the conflict. And so then, what was the conflict that was going on with Peter? Look with me at 1 Corinthians 1:16. It says, the message of the cross is what? Foolish to those who are headed for destruction. From the human point of view, the cross is foolish. Daniel, in his prophecy about the coming Savior, the coming king and ruler, says that he would die appearing to have accomplished nothing. It's foolishness. It's empty. It doesn't make sense. Peter was ashamed, possibly because he was angry. He had been rebuked for doing what he saw as the right thing. And Jesus was heading the wrong direction. Jesus was going down without a fight. Jesus was cooperating practically. Or perhaps he was upset or disappointed. Jesus did not do what Peter expected. And I go there because God often does not do what I expect, nor what I want. And I get angry or upset or disappointed with God. There are books, there are good books written about disappointment with God. Once Peter learned the lesson of the cross and of grace, he was not ashamed. As a matter of fact, he died to give testimony to the grace, power, and truth of the gospel. He was so passionate, so convinced that tradition, whether it's accurate or not, has been debated, but tradition has it that he wasn't willing to be crucified the normal way because he wasn't worthy to die in the same way that Jesus did. And that is an example of faith. Read with me the Apostle Paul's words to in Romans 1, 16 and 17. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Notice first the conclusion, where this verse goes to. The righteous will live by faith. Peter was not ashamed in the end when he stopped viewing things from merely a human point of view. When he had the eyes of faith, when he understood that what God was doing sometime was bigger than what Peter understood. And there are two simple truths that are in Romans 1, 16 and 17 that I want us to look at today, that we can be strengthened in our faith, and in being strengthened in our faith can maybe not be ashamed in our daily lives to live and have a testimony for Jesus. First, we understand that the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God. That's quite a mouthful. I wish I could find a way to express the idea of the gospel being the very power of God. Paul calls it a mystery. This is the one who spoke the stars into existence. And it's his power. Daniel, like I said, tells us that the Messiah died appearing to have accomplished nothing. And in the eyes of the world, what did he accomplish? The message of the cross, like we said, is to those who are perishing, it's foolishness. What is sin? Why should I worry about it? What is salvation? To a person who doesn't know God, who is living their daily lives the best they can, goes to work on Monday and thanks God it's Friday, what does this all mean? What do they need salvation for? After all, I go to work on time, I feed my family. What's all this stuff about the cross? It's all nonsense. And it would be if Jesus had stayed in the grave. Paul said that we of all people would be to be most pitied if it wasn't for the resurrection. But as it says in Romans 1, he was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Here's what God says about his Son. In John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But listen to this. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." Whatever you think about sin, whether you think it's foolish and an old archaic concept, can I ask what you think about Jesus? God says that the person who does not believe, this isn't what I made up, this is what it says there, this is the verdict, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. God says that the person who does not believe is condemned already, because that person has not believed in God's Son. And it's this truth that compels us, that brings us as believers in Christ to be ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20, "As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Boldness like Peter had after the resurrection comes by faith. Faith that is founded in the gospel and the realization that it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Notice that it said in John chapter 3 that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Boldness doesn't come from a condemnation. It comes from an free offer of salvation for anyone who will believe. It comes from grace. It comes from the love of God. And I think it's seen further or explained further in the second truth that we see in John, or in Romans 1:16 and 17. We understand that in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness from God is revealed in the gospel. Look carefully at Romans 1:16 and 17. Notice that in verse 17, it says four. It starts out with four. It's an explanation of verse 16. The gospel is the power of God for everyone who believes. And then it says for, and then what it says after that is, in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. The gospel is the power of God because of the gospel. There in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. That's the reason it's the power of God. And this is so important. I wish that I could say it in a way that you would remember it. But the gospel reveals how we can be made right with God. That's the righteousness. How we can have God's rightness. How we can be right with God. You see, my problem and your problem and the problem of every human being since Adam and Eve decided to go their own way and to do what God told them not to do, the problem that we all have is that we're not right with God. We're not in a right relationship with God. And Peter was ashamed because at the moment he was not right with God. He was looking at it from a merely human point of view. He wanted his way, or he wanted things to happen the way he thought they should happen or whatever. But at that moment he was not right and he was ashamed. Cain was ashamed. And because Cain was ashamed and his offering wasn't accepted, he was angry. And because he was angry, he murdered. And James talks about how we lust after things and we don't get what we want, so then we get angry and commit murder. Because of the gospel, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we can make an appeal to anyone who will listen to be reconciled or be made right with God. The gospel, the power of God, has come and it's made us an ambassadors of a message that says, come and be made right with God. Because the gospel is a message that reveals a righteousness that is from God. Remember in our video clip, and like I said, it's not completely accurate to the facts, but it's very thought-provoking, but it also... what Jesus told Peter, it's not about what you've done. It's about what I've done. It's about what happened on the cross. Look at what it says in Romans 5, 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, remember, going back to Romans 1, 16 and 17, verse 17, a righteousness of God is revealed, it's by faith. Through faith, we have peace with God. We've been made right with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith, again, faith, into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's the gospel. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous will live by faith. That's a life-changing truth. That's a world-changing truth. Do you realize that as Martin Luther was studying Romans and preparing sermons on Romans, he came across this verse and it transformed our world. The Reformation took place. And that one truth, that one sentence, the righteous will live by faith, transformed our world. And it transformed it before that, because what did God say about Abraham? He counted him as righteous because of his faith. It wasn't because Abraham was better than anybody, it was because he had faith. Men try many avenues to be right with God. And that is what religion is. religion is by definition trying to be made right with God, and there's a lot of avenues. I'm going to pick on two of them right now because they seem to be my weaknesses. And so if you can identify with my weakness and a weakness that is addressed in the Bible, then you can apply it to your life. The two that I see here, one is to pursue knowledge to be made right with God, and the other is to pursue good works. But what are the results? When we pursue knowledge, what happens? Remember the church at Corinth? Paul wrote two letters to them, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Those are two letters he wrote to Corinthians because they were having issues in the church. And when Paul was speaking to this group of Christians about the issue of food sacrificed to idols, whether or not they should eat it, some were saying, you can't eat this stuff because it's been offered to idols. And some were saying, it doesn't matter. Idols are nothing and they don't count for anything anyway, so we can eat it. And now, what did he say to this? Here's what he said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. He says, now regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols, listen closely to what he says. Yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, you're probably familiar with the translation says, knowledge puffeth up, builds us up. It is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much, but the person who loves God is the one who God recognizes. I have a weakness in this area because I love knowledge. And I like to read, and when I was a young missionary candidate getting ready to go to the mission field, they tested us on Bible knowledge and doctrinal knowledge and all that good stuff. And I had a Bible school education, basically a bachelor's degree, and I was going up against a whole class of people that had their master's degrees from seminaries, and my knowledge puffed me up because I scored better than any of them. I was like, ooh. But knowledge puffs up. Who were the people that opposed Jesus the most? The ones that had the most knowledge. And knowledge is not the way to righteousness. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't want to downplay the importance of knowing the truth and knowing what you believe, but that is not the way to be right with God. You know, it's not about knowing more and more and more. It's about knowing deeper and a deeper relationship with Christ. It's about growing in faith. It's about being like Abraham so that when God says, go out and sacrifice your son, you don't do anything but get up the next early the next morning and go and do what God says. I haven't arrived at that point yet. Knowledge is important, but it's not the way to be made right. Good works are another way that we as men try to be made right with God. Now, here's an interesting, and I would like to get accurate statistics on this, but I don't have them. But most people, if you ask them, are you going to heaven? Most people will actually say yes. And if you ask them why, they will say, because I am a good person. Now, having spent years in the pastorate and having asked that to people that have been in church their whole lives, good fundamental gospel preaching churches, and then you ask them, why do you think you're going to heaven? Because I'm a good person, I still kind of want. So it's a waste to preach that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy. What does God say? Look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9. This is from the New Living Translation. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. God saved you by His grace when you believed. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Knowledge puffs up, and good works, what? We can boast about them. You know what the antithesis to faith is? It's pride. It's where the devil started out with, and he got to looking so good in his own life. The merely human point of view that Peter had, really, whenever we get caught up in religion, trying to be good by knowledge or good works, it feeds our humanness. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The righteousness that God, the gospel reveals, is a righteousness that comes by faith. This is the good news. Gospel stands for good news. I cannot be good enough. Ask my son Jonathan. Well, don't ask my son Jonathan. He knows I can't be good enough. No matter how hard I try, I just cannot be good enough. The good news is that it is not about whether or not I can be good enough. It's about what He has done. And this is a life-changing and a world-changing truth. That if the salvation that we have, the peace that we have with God, is by faith. The gospel is the power of God to salvation for what? For everyone who will believe. Everyone who will believe. You know, I don't know whether you've known Christ all your life. I've known Christ since my early days. But in the gospel, in the fact that I can believe and be saved, is the greatest mystery and the greatest depth. When I was young in faith, I thought, I wish this preacher would preach something other than milk when he would preach the gospel. And now I look at it and wonder, how can I ever comprehend the grace of God that would save me just because I believe, just because I'm willing to accept it? You know, Peter in the garden, really, all that Jesus was doing when he was explaining to them he would die, all he was asking is, just trust me. Just trust me. And you know, that's what God asks of Joe so much, and that's where I kick at him the hardest, is when he says, just trust me. But God, it's just foolishness. It just doesn't make sense. There's my merely human point of view. Because all that God asks, and for salvation even, for us to enjoy the power of God to salvation, all He asks is just trust me. Knowledge is no good if it doesn't bring love, and that comes from just trusting. Not trying to control it, not trying to manipulate it, not trying to be good enough, just trusting. So like I was saying, I don't know where you're at, if you've known Christ all your life, or if this is the first time you're hearing the message of the gospel. But The invitation today is the salvation, the power of God is available to any of us, every one of us, if we will but trust Him. Are you willing to do that today? Just trust Him.